we are going to be joined by Leah Garchik. She's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. We're going to be talking with Lee about eavesdropping. It's easy to find yourself sucked into a conversation going on around you. The couple in a whispered argument at a restaurant, the healthy-looking guy calling in sick to work while you're standing in line at the movies. Websites such as Overheard in New York even pay homage to the art of eavesdropping. And Lee Garchik has collects overheard quotes for her column called Public Eavesdropping. She's with us from member station KQED in San Francisco. We'd like to know if you've heard anything good lately, if you've eavesdropped on any good little gossip. What was the last conversation you overheard that was worth repeating? Tell us your stranger-than-fiction public gleanings. Our number is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. Lee, are you with us now?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Great to have you. Tell us a bit about your column. How did it get started?
Well, I write a kind of gossip column, but not quite a down and dirty gossip column. It's about what's happening in San Francisco. And people, especially with the advent of email, would start telling me kind of casual things. So what started as I would have a quote a day from a celebrity, I thought that really people out in public, people on buses and people on trains, said much more interesting things than celebrities. So I started using those quotes. And pretty soon it kind of opened a floodgate. So I then instituted a regular box within my column called Public Eavesdropping. And that's a quote a day.
Do you think eavesdropping has gotten worse with the advent of cell phones, that it's a little hard not to overhear what people are saying in their phone conversations on the street and in buses and things like that?
The only thing I would disagree with that you just said was the word worse. I think eavesdropping has gotten a lot better. it's like a souped-up musical instrument. The cell phones just make it possible for everybody to listen.
But isn't it rude? Isn't eavesdropping rude?
Well, no. I think that if one's personal space is violated, to use that very New Age term, but if you're on a bus and you've got somebody's voice, somebody's conversation ringing around you as though it were the symphony playing Beethoven's Fifth, I think you have the right to listen.
All right. Well, we're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Elizabeth, who's calling from Eugene, Oregon. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
I'm calling because I think there is a link between your previous thing about street racing and about eavesdropping. And I think there is a responsibility that needs to be thought of. When I was raising my six kids and we had a straight shot and people were racing and we couldn't find them, my sister who went to high school came home and said, "Oh, do you know what I heard in the girls' bathroom? There's going to be a race and they're going to be there," and they show the time and everything. And she was responsible enough to tell me. And we organized our neighbors. And we put cars facing the street and at either end because the police had not responded. And because of that, we actually went out there and stopped these kids and took them home to their parents.
Uh-huh. So you're saying sometimes you can eavesdrop and then do some public good as a result of your eavesdropping.
I think there is a responsibility that everything that we hear, we sift it and get rid of it. If it doesn't have anything to do with us, we need to turn it off. But if there is something, for instance, guns to schools, kids, there is a very responsible eavesdropping that needs to be encouraged.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
What do you think about that, Leah?
Well, I think that what she's saying is certainly valid, but I think she's really talking about gossip as opposed to eavesdropping. I kind of justify my living as a, quote, gossip columnist by thinking that it does help in the establishment of community standards for people to talk to each other about other people's behavior. And I think that's what she's referring to. Eavesdropping is pretty much a one-on-one occupation or recreation, actually.
And also, you're really just picking up a snippet when you're eavesdropping.
It's
almost like you don't have a whole story to even report to somebody.
And that's the whole joy in a kind of almost literary sense, because you immediately start conjuring up stories about how that quote, where it came from and where it's going.
On the other hand, I think it's possible, as our caller said, sometimes perhaps to be eavesdropping and to hear something that does deserve to be reported. We can acknowledge that that is a possibility as well. Let's go to Kyle, who's calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you.
I was actually at McDonald's about a week ago eating breakfast when a family of three people came in, a mother, her teenage son, and barely, I'd say like 12-year-old, maybe 13-year-old girl. The girl just obviously came back from the bathroom, came up and was whispering to her mother. I didn't really catch my attention then until her mother screamed, "Damn it, Haley," which caught the attention of a few people around the store. The younger son, then the little girl went off. She went back to the bathroom, and the boy asked what was the problem. And her mother said, well, she lost her bra, and then proceeded to say, hopefully she didn't flush it down the toilet again. I think there was quite a few people around me that could just barely keep from just erupting with laughter. It was, you know, unfortunately, it was kind of a sad situation, and it did catch quite a few people eavesdropping, especially in the public outburst. But I don't know, sometimes you get some funny outtakes by eavesdropping a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. Thanks so much for calling in, Kyle.
As a professional collector of overheard quotes, I love it becomes even better with her name in it. Somehow the specificity of "damn it, Haley" just makes it more delicious, much more realistic, too.
Thanks for calling, Kyle. And, you know, the other thing about that is what we were saying just before Kyle called, which is, what is that story? You don't know what that story is. Why is she flushing her bras down the toilet? I mean, that sort of leaves you with your imagination sort of spinning there, I think, somewhat. I guess those, as you said, those are some of the best ones.
Oh, absolutely. The off-the-wall ones. Totally off the wall. The ones that have absolutely no rationale. Somebody told me the other day they heard it was two women who seemed to be discussing a date, and one said to the other, "You better wear something flame retardant." Who knows where that was coming from or going?
Right. Leah Garchik is a columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle and the author of Real Life Romance, a collection of overheard quotes about love. And you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Joffrin. And Joffrin is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Hello.
Hi. I was once living in New York, and I was at a Japanese restaurant for lunch, and the couple next to us were speaking in French and just ripping on Americans, how we're not civilized, how does this country function, just really ripping. And I was just almost dying laughing through the whole thing because it was so typically French. On the way out of the restaurant, the woman bumped into me, and I said something very colloquial back to her in French. And she looked at me, and she spoke to me in English and said, "You speak French?" And I answered her, and I said, "Why, yes, I'm civilized." And I left. And the look on her face was priceless.
Well, it's always good to be able to do something like that, to get back at those who are gossiping about you and they think you can't hear it.
Exactly. It was priceless.
Thanks for your call, Joffrin. As I mentioned, Leah, you have a book where you've collected some romantic quotes. Why are the romantic stories that you eavesdrop on so much fun and so interesting?
Well, first of all, there's such a volume of them. There are so many conversations about romance. I mean, people like to do it, but they seem to like to talk about it even more. So when I started collecting quotes, I noticed that there were a huge proportion of them about people meeting, about people getting together, about them wondering what their first date would be like, then sleeping together, and then maybe breaking up or maybe sticking together for their whole lives. So I thought it would be fun for a Valentine's Day column to put them in order, because they do form a natural arc that's very easy to do in the chronology of a relationship. And that was the basis of the book.
All right, great. Let's go to another caller now. Steve's calling from Pine Grove, California. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, many years ago when I was in high school, I was walking, went off campus for lunch and went into a local grocery store that had a butcher shop. And the butcher was on the phone, and there must have been a bad connection on the phone. This was in Berkeley. And as I walked by, he was yelling out rather loudly, "Breasts, breasts, I need more breasts."
That's a good one.
That was kind of probably a logical thing to say, given his situation, but it seemed a little out of context.
Okay.
In writing those and putting those into written form, I can sort of play around with the citations a little. and sort of emphasize the weirdness of those. But that's quite delicious.
All right, that's great. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you.
That was a good one. Let's go to Kim. She's calling from Berkeley, California. Hi, Kim.
Well, I just wanted to comment on a time when my husband and I were out, and we were just having a pretty bad day, and how amazed we were that this couple next to us was having just an even more awful day than us. So without going into the details, I kind of felt super, super low for listening, but, I mean, it was pretty bad. So sometimes, you know, some of your callers have said some things about taking the higher road and being responsible and respectful with the information that you receive, but I have to acknowledge that I took the lower road that day and listened to every detail that they shared and thought to myself when I left how happy I was with my husband and our current relationship. So I just wanted to share that.
All right. Thanks, Kim. That's a great story. Let's see if we can get one more in from Damien. And Damien is calling from Tennessee. Hi, Damien.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I've been a waiter for years and years and years, and quite frankly, eavesdropping is one of the tools of the trade. You know, I learn a lot. And I think my favorite instance is when I had a regular customer I was developing for about 3 or 4 weeks, and it was on the fourth week when she had a guest that I realized that, oh, that's her photographer, and she's been doing porn all this time. So needless to say, I started to sell the most expensive thing on the menu.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much, Damien. That was a good one, too. So it's obviously irresistible to eavesdrop. But Lee, I was just wondering, when you put your stories at the end of your column, when people send them in, do you ever fact check them or find out for sure that they're true? Or?
Oh, this is a really hairy question to discuss, actually. I depend on people being honest. I try not to use quotes that are too much one-liners that make some easy joke, because I think that sounds made up. But occasionally, I have to admit, someone will say, you know, that overheard you said, that was a joke on Letterman the other night. And, oh, it makes me feel really betrayed. I mean, I walk around with my pad in my pocket and really do scribble quotes following people, aside from the email ones. So please, if you're listening and you send them to me, don't cheat me.
Be honest.
Honest.
Lee, thanks so much. It was really fun talking with you.
Thank you.
Lee Agarczyk is a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle and the author of Real Life Romance, a collection of overheard quotes about love, sex, and relationships. She joined us from member station KQED in San Francisco. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.